And good morning. Thank you for the kind introduction, JP. I'm so glad I looked at my watch 10 seconds ago. That told me to get with the program. I do that all the time. You don't know this, but sometimes I get involved in reading something that I find very interesting, and I just don't get on the program like I should. But I'm here today. I've got it all together. Okay, so, you know, you're welcome to question anything I say. Please, go research it, look it up. I want you to be a highly curious human being. Find out whether or not the things I'm saying are so. There's a lot of health experts out there, and quite often I find myself disagreeing with them. And I think it's okay. They can disagree with me. I had a lady the other day whose kidneys radically improved, and she was almost right there at kidney failure, ready for dialysis. And the kidney specialist was so disturbed that she was taking a supplement that was helping rejuvenate her kidneys. Now, I don't know, but that's weird. I mean, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? We're supposed to put the well-being of others first, right? Okay, I came across an article that has interest to me. And if it has interest to me, I want to take that information and I want to relay it on to you and see if it has any benefit to who you are and how you want to live your life. Okay. There was a study done by Baylor University. And what they did in this study was, I'll just go ahead and read the abstract to you. Dr. Jeffrey Hylison, if I'm saying his name correctly, of Baylor University, and he's also associated with Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. He got 218 healthy subjects aged 18 to 40. Now, that may not be the age range that I want, but it is an age range. So the people in the study were 18 to 40, and he talked them into doing weight training 3 times a week for 10 weeks. If you want to say this 2.5 months, fine. Each training consisted of a full body workout with basic exercises. Okay. Hylison divided the subjects into 2 groups, and this is the part that I want you to take note of. One group took placebo capsules every day during the experiment. So you're going to ask me, well, what is a placebo? A placebo is a substance that's just inert. It has no nutritional benefit. That would be the opposite of taking something that might be of a nutritional quality to see if it would be a benefit. So one group took a placebo every day for 10 weeks while they did full body workouts. The other group took fish oil capsules. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, why would they give fish oil capsules to people that are exercising and pushing weights around? Okay. The product that Hylison used, and I'm looking at a picture of it, it's called Pro Omega. It's made by a company called Nordic Naturals. It says there's there are 210 soft gel capsules, and it's 1,000 milligrams each. Okay. Now, when I read this to you, it's probably going to shock you slightly because you're going to go, oh my goodness, are you serious? Yeah, I am serious. And this was an interesting study done at Baylor, so here goes right here. The test, I know this because people complain about fish oil all the time. I mean, you don't know this, but people can complain sometimes, especially if they don't get their way or they have to do something they're uncomfortable with. Okay, well, here's what they did. One group of people that exercised took a placebo. The other group took a product called Pro Omega, which is basically fish oil. So the ones that took the Pro Omega from Nordic Naturals, they took no less than 7 capsules a day. Do you get what I'm saying? 7 capsules a day. Those are 1,000 milligram gel caps, or if you want to call them soft gels, same thing. They provided 4.5 grams of fish oil per day, of which 2.28 grams came from EPA, which is called eicosapentaenoic acid, and I think there was like 1.5 grams of DHA, docosahexaenoic acid. Anyway, that's just oil that comes from fish. And just briefly, One of the reasons that omega-3 fatty acids are called essential fatty acids is because your body has no capacity to manufacture these. And you're thinking, well, why is that important? Well, these are mission critical to life. You've got to have them. This is a lot of one part of your cell membranes, whether it's a red blood cell or a brain cell, a heart cell, liver, kidney, bone cell. Part of the cell membrane is omega-3 fatty acids. I mean, you got to have them, folks. I think when they test the average American, the percentage of omega-3 fatty acid concentration in the red blood cell membranes is hovering around 4%. Now, that's great if you want to have cancer and diabetes, severe heart disease, hardening of the arteries. You want to have insulin resistance. You want to have mental health issues. You want to have depression, anxiety, panic attacks. You want to be exhausted all the time. Anyway, I could go on, but you've got to have omega-3 fatty acids. And like anything else, there's an optimal amount. Meaning, if you have just enough, all of a sudden, all the cells and tissues in your body, they start working the way that God designed them to. Okay? So here we are. Here's the results right here. What happened when they gave people Nordic Naturals Pro Omega Fish Oil, 7 gel caps a day? The reason I find this comical, man, there's people, they won't even take one a day. They think, this is too much. You're asking too much of me, Dr. Morgan. Well, it's in your best interest. So here's the results right here. And, of course, they're only looking at one metric. This is just one metric. That's all they're doing here. Dr. Hylison, he found no significant differences between the two groups when it came to changes in body composition, okay? They measured them. Now, the subjects in the supplement group, they did build up significantly more strength than the subjects in the placebo group. I'll read the graph to you momentarily. Now, this is just 10 weeks. In my mind, I keep thinking, what would happen if this was not 10 weeks? What if this was for 52 weeks and you gave it like a good year to find out? Man, I bet you the gap would just be ginormous. That's not a real word. No, the gap would probably be so huge. Now, I don't have proof of that. I'm just talking. It says the increase in maximum strength was almost 2 times more in the fish oil group than in the placebo group. That's maybe one of the takeaways or the punchlines here. You need to think about this. So, I'm looking at the bench press. People that worked out 3 times a week with weights doing full body workouts, their bench press improved 7% over 10 weeks. Those that took fish oil, theirs went up to 18% better. Okay. Now, do you know what a squat is? Okay. What they did was they measured these people to see how strong their squat was before and after. The people that just took the placebo, theirs improved by 18%. Okay. And I realize we're just looking at one thing here, but I still find this fascinating. 18% stronger by trying, but those that took the fish oil, oh my goodness, theirs shot up. It was 29% above that. The researchers suspect that fish oil supplementation makes the anabolic machinery of the muscles run more smoothly. I know that doesn't really tell you a lot right there, but can I suggest this to you? There's some things that your body just needs to work properly. And you tell me, do you want to give your body every single chance to work properly? If your body is not in good repair, what's going to happen to you? Cancer, heart disease, diabetes. The study was funded by Baylor University, not Nordic Naturals. That would be interesting to me also. You know, this is not a Japanese study, folks. Let me give the phone number here. The phone number at the station is 903-589-8507. I like Japanese studies because they don't care about the pharmaceutical companies. They're not angling to get big grants and so they can get a lot of money to say whatever the people want them to say. They just do pure research. So a lot of the fish oil supplements I look at from Japan, I really think that they look really, really good. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines here. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan.
Hello.
Where can I get these fish oil supplements?
Well, I said it's Nordic Naturals. It's called Pro Omega. So what you do is go to your computer and look it up for yourself and find out where you can buy it.
Okay.
But you know what a good guess would be? A health food store.
Drug Emporium.
There you go. So you already knew the answer to it before you asked me.
Well, I just had to confirm. I just had to hear you say it.
All right. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. Okay. And, okay. The phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. I mentioned earlier, they do have a very simple, straightforward blood test where you can just take a drop of your blood, send it to the laboratory, and you can find out real quick how much omega-3 fatty acids you have in your body. It's that simple. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. I need to know what to do for an earache.
How long have you had it?
It's not me. It's my granddaughter. She just mentioned it last night.
How old is she?
20.
Okay. How long has she had it?
Well, she has it off and on ever so often.
Has she been treated over and over again for ear infections as a child?
No.
Okay, so it probably has nothing to do with that. I know this is going to sound slightly gross. I don't mean it to be, but do you know what earwax is?
I do.
Every so often, I'll find a person that tells me, they'll say, is there anything you can do about an earache, Dr. Morgan? And I will look inside their ear with an otoscope. It just looks like a magnifying glass with a light. And their ear is so completely clogged up with wax. It looks almost like a brownish, reddish, orange color. I don't know if you've ever seen the color of earwax. That may not be the best description. But earwax has a very unique color. If I say, let's combine a little bit of yellow with a little bit of brown, a little bit of red or orange, that's probably the color of earwax. And it's amazing. Once you clear the earwax out, a lot of those people with the earache, it just completely goes away. Now, if I told you there's a word called drainage, let me tell you how I want to explain it. If a person said, my nose is basically stuffy, it's clogged up, I can't breathe clearly, what they may do is they may take some tissue paper and they may blow and they get quite a bit of debris out and it may be discolored like yellow or green. But once that comes out, all of a sudden the discomfort in their face goes away. They don't have the pain in the sinuses. That's because now that they're unclogged, they can drain. Well, I think the ear is the same way. Now, I'm building toward a point here. This happened to me years ago. There was an article written by an eye, ear, and nose throat specialist, an ear doctor, and he was adamant that under no circumstances should anyone ever use an ear candle to try to clean the debris from their ears. He said it was very harmful, it was very risky, there's no way that you should do it, and then, this is usually the way it works out, about 2 weeks later there was a new bit of research from a survey done. Maybe research is not the right word, but there was a survey of 500 people that had given themselves an ear candling. Have you ever heard of ear candling before?
I have.
Well, what they do is they take a piece of linen cloth, and they dip it in beeswax while it's warm, and then they put it around a jig to kind of form a cone-shaped funnel, and that's what an ear candle is, and they let it dry. So there's a hole at one end, and usually it has a little, like an anti-clog device down at the end. And that's too much information, sorry. It's just called a beeswax ear candle. But in this survey, they had the highest level of satisfaction of any survey I think I've ever seen. It was like 98.7% of all people said they were so thoroughly pleased by the experience that they had gotten from having their ears candled. And I thought to myself, there is no way on God's green earth you're ever going to do a survey and have 98% or 98.7% of all people agree. I mean, do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
If I asked today, did a survey of people who's going to vote Libertarian, who's going to vote Democrat, and who's going to vote Republican. Do you think we're going to get 98.7% of the people are going to say, I'm going to vote Libertarian? No, that's never going to happen. You're going to have all these different opinions about it. It's just going to be all, you know, it's not going to be like the majority of people. You get where I'm coming from. So I kind of took that information. I said, okay, the ear doctor says it's the worst thing to do of all time. Is that really true or not? But when you ask the average everyday person, does their earache go away once they do an ear candle? You get an overwhelming yes. So you're going to have to evaluate for yourself. You're going to tell your granddaughter who's 20 to do an ear candling so we can start drawing all the gunk out of her ear. They actually, and it's usually up high on the top shelf, they sell earwax cleaning kits or ear cleaning kits at the grocery store. Have you ever heard of a store that begins with the letter W and ends with the word Mart? Have you ever heard of that store? You have? Oh, my goodness. You've really gotten out there in public, haven't you? But it's up high on the shelf. But they have earwax cleaning kits. And I'm sort of smiling as I say this, but I've seen those produce such horrific amounts of gunk that have come out of the ear. So she just may need her ears cleaned.
Okay.
So that's probably the most straightforward, simple thing. Now, if this was the year 1901, which I know we're just a little bit removed from 1901, a parent would have put what's called castor oil in the ears to see if that would relieve the earache. Or if this was the year 1924, if you had a child that had a horrible, I'm not calling her a child, she's 20, she's in a full-grown adult woman, right? But what parents used to do is they would take a solution of half white vinegar and half alcohol, and they just mix them together like in a dropper bottle and put about 5 or 6 drops in the ear while they're laying on their side. Sometimes the pain's gone within 15 seconds.
Wait, half white vinegar and half alcohol?
Yes,
and
ma'am.
About five drops?
Yes, ma'am. That's it. You got it.
Okay.
And when I say alcohol, I'm just talking about rubbing alcohol that you can buy for 97 cents. Or I don't know if it costs 97 cents anymore, does it? Maybe it costs $1.49.
I have no idea.
Well, I think prices have gone up in the last couple of weeks, don't you think?
I think so, too.
So those are things that she can look at. Does your granddaughter, does she like to spend her entire day outside?
Well, she's a little worker, but she works on a public job. But when she comes home, she works outside a lot.
Oh, great. Well, that's really, really good for the ears. It really is. It helps the ears to be healthy. The more fresh air and sunlight that a person receives, the healthier their ears are. If you want the ears to have hearing problems, just stay indoors all day long. You can just be on Facebook. And is it called Tic Tac or TikTok? I can't really remember. Would you believe me if I told you I've never been on TikTok?
Well, I haven't either.
Or, well, you and I have a lot in common. I've never been on Instagram one time. Am I missing anything?
I don't think I have either.
I don't even think I've looked at Facebook in a good 2 years. And you know what? I have nothing. I'm not remorseful at all.
Right.
Anyway, I hope those things help your granddaughter.
Thank you much. Appreciate
it. You're welcome. And by the way, you can get beeswax ear candles usually at like health food stores. They usually sell two varieties. Okay. They may sell one ear candle that's made of paraffin or just regular, you know, paraffin wax. My favorite of all time, if I had to just choose one to give you the biggest bang for the buck, it's going to be a beeswax ear candle. Never underestimate the power of nature when you use something. So if it's made from beeswax, oh my goodness, that's going to be the greatest chance of success.
Okay. And then about the half white vinegar and half alcohol, 5 drops, and just put it in your ear.
Yeah, you just lay on your side with your... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then do you lay on your side and put it in, and then do you turn your head back to get that out, or just leave it alone?
Sure. Yeah, but if it were me, have her just lay on her side for a few minutes. 5 minutes wouldn't be too long. Now, obviously, if somebody had a perforated eardrum, you wouldn't do that. But she doesn't have, like, a horrible gunky discharge showing infection oozing from her ear, does she?
No.
And
no,
blood's
no.
not coming down the side of her neck.
Oh, no.
Now, do you know for a fact she doesn't have an arrow in her neck from, like, a maybe a Comanche Indian raid from a recent wagon train attack?
Do it.
Okay, well, you
she
might want to check it. For that first.
I will.
But as long as there's no hole in the eardrum, you could easily put the white vinegar in the alcohol.
Okay,
and that's what all parents used to do like 100 years ago.
Yeah. Also, the castor oil, about 5 drops.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And then when she's ready to get up, and yeah, I know this may sound kind of gross, but she may have some stuff that kind of comes out of the ear when she tilts her head to the side and it starts to drain out.
Okay.
So sometimes it's like you just pull the plug and all the stuff starts coming out. So she might want to have, you know, something to catch it, like a towel or a washcloth.
Okay. Well, I'll give her this information.
All righty.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome.
You sure do help.
You betcha. Thanks for your phone call. Okay. Bye-bye. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. The number here is 903-589-8507. This program is Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan. Yes, it is true. I am completely biased. It's not that I don't consider, you know, powerful pharmaceutical drugs, but what I've got to be considering is, do they cause more problems than what they help? Let me share some information with you right here. Okay, and this is going to be probably new information to you, and you haven't heard this, or maybe you're like me, you like reading stuff like this, and it's going to, you know, it's just something to think about. Okay. There was an article that was published in the British Medical Journal back in the year 1979. You're thinking, 79? Wasn't that like a million years ago? Well, no, not a million years, but let me see, 79, that's 21. Okay, 45 years ago. Okay, there you go, 45 years ago. Actually, we have another caller. Let me get this phone call and I'll come back and I'll tell you what I had in mind. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, sir.
All right. How can I help you?
I'm the guy that have been listening to you for 20-some years. And
did you say 27?
Yeah.
Does that mean you're a long-time listener?
Right.
Okay.
The guy that my neck's been broke twice, and you helped me with that, what they thought I had a urinary tract infection.
I sure am sorry about the broken neck.
Yeah.
Well, how can I help you today?
Well, they found out that I had bladder cancer.
Okay.
A tumor in my bladder. And their recommendation, after removal of the tumor, is to chemo for 6 weeks and then wait a month and remove my bladder and put a tube on coming out my side into a bag.
Oh boy.
That doesn't make sense to me. Why are they trying to cure the cancer to remove the bladder, when why don't they try to cure the bladder?
Have you posed that question to the doctor that's making these recommendations and asked him why?
No. He hit me with that last week, and I was so shocked I just couldn't.
Oh, no. I totally get that, dude. I would be in shock too. You can't be expect to have the greatest questions that you can fire back and say, why are you doing this? Why can't we do it a different way? Well, how would you like me to help you?
What could I do to help heal my bladder?
Okay, I'm going to make this sound a little bit long in the tooth, but if you will, just kind of hang in there because I'm trying to say what I think is in your best interest, okay?
Okay.
All right, so let me have a go with this. If I were to do a literature search right now on a laptop computer, which I don't have one, all I got is my brain. That's I'm going to fall short every time on that deal. But if you look at the long-term studies that demonstrate who's most at risk for developing bladder cancer, it's always the same group of people. It's people that are exposed to chemicals. And so one of the greatest examples I can think of, if you're a rancher, a farmer, you have land, you got livestock, but you want to spray a chemical along the fence rows to keep your barbed wire clean or free of weeds. Let me just say, for example, that could be a chemical called Roundup or glyphosate. You ever heard of that before?
Yep.
Or if you served in the military and you were in the Vietnam War, you might have been exposed to a chemical called Agent Orange that was a tree and vine defoliant, which just kept them from growing. They were trying to kill the jungle so they could, troops, the enemy wouldn't be able to hide in the jungle. Anyway, so if you're a wheat farmer, you may have a drone that costs $100 million that sprays Roundup all over the wheat crops just to keep the weeds down. Anyway, here's the point I'm getting to. The more exposure that a human being has to Roundup, the more bladder cancer they have. Here's my second point. When they tested recently grocery store items, just common everyday grocery store items or foods that were available, they asked the question, okay, does any of this stuff available in the grocery store, does any of it have high levels of Roundup or glyphosate, a chemical that's known to cause bladder cancer? And you know what the number one food was on the list that had the highest amount of Roundup? And I know this is going to sound nuts, but I think to myself, that is the biggest bunch of baloney I've ever heard of, to put this big heart-healthy sign on a box of Cheerios saying it's good for the heart and it lowers your cholesterol. Well, I just gave it away. So the number one food that had the most Roundup of all time was called Cheerios. Do you know how much I cringe when I'm in church and I see a mother opening up a container and giving her little baby Cheerios?
That's what I gave to my children.
Well, and no one's here to be critical. I'm sure I have done that also to my kids without knowing it, but now that I know. So the number one food that had the most Roundup that just poisons the human body is Cheerios. Number two was Honey Nut Cheerios, which I'm going, duh, that makes sense. And I'd have to go back and look it up. There were other foods also. But, of course, you know what Cheerios are. They're just processed man-processed cereals for, you know, breakfast. And you know what? Don't be hard on yourself. I know parents...
I haven't touched that stuff.
What'd you say?
Ever since I started listening to you years ago, I stopped eating that kind of stuff.
Okay, so I'm going to pose something to you, and it's going to sound very strange and weird, but just hear me out, okay? I don't know anything about your current home or your living conditions or where you live, so just kind of take all of this information into consideration. But if I had a problem with my bladder, I would use a technique that's absolutely free. It's called heliotherapy. Have you ever heard of heliotherapy?
No.
Well, helio refers to sunlight therapy. And the way this is done is you expose the weakened tissue or the part that has cancer to natural sunlight. Now, I know this kind of gets to be strange for some people, but I really dig this topic. So you're talking about exposing the skin directly where your bladder is to the invisible wavelengths of light from the sun, whether that be ultraviolet A through E or infrared spectrum or, you know, all the other ones that we can't see, but we can feel them. There is visible light, but there's also invisible light. But that's called heliotherapy. Now, in my mind, the first herbal remedy that popped in my head is called black cumin seed oil. I would have to look that up for sure, but I would think of things like, what can you do to help get yourself into a better place? And if it's the bladder, we got to start detoxifying the chemicals. That's one of the reasons why I'm saying. And I want to say this study that I looked at in the past came from Eastern Europe. Now, just because it doesn't come from Texas doesn't invalidate it and make it not true. Because I just read the study about fish oil from Baylor University, and they're down at Waco, which I dig that. But these studies from Eastern Europe show that when you expose an area that's dealing with significant toxicity, and that's what bladder cancer is, it's always a toxicity issue. And what that means is the urine that was in your bladder is just swimming in a boatload of toxins, and we want to help the body get rid of that. So heliotherapy is what you want, sunbathing the bladder.
Okay.
Or the skin over the bladder. I think you knew what I meant.
Yes.
Okay. So the next thing is this right here. You've got to make it easy for the body to repair itself. And so what does the body need in order to maintain its integrity? Yeah, well, in the bladder, you've got to have vitamin A and you've got to have vitamin C. So what am I going to recommend to you? You need to focus on eating things that are clean and wholesome, like sweet potatoes and avocados. If I had my way, I'm going to try to convince you to eat. If you need anything that's sweet, I want that to be from the berry family. So whether that's blueberries or cherries, raspberries, I'm running out of berries. Strawberries.
That's what we do.
Okay. And so, you know what you can do that would be very easy? You can get a blood test where we can actually measure the strength of your immune system. It's called a CBC with a differential. And we could measure your white blood cells. We could measure all the different types of neutrophils and lymphocytes and monocytes and eosinophils and basophils. And we can measure natural killer cells. But we can find out where you are. Has your doctor told you about your immune system?
No, not a word. And anyway, I need to make an appointment with you, come see you, because it just doesn't make sense. Their reasoning on the chemo and removing the bladder instead of healing the bladder.
Well, We need to take a look at all this.
He described it to me as in dividing up the wall of the bladder into five sections. And if the tumor had eaten into the wall, the first two sections of it, then they would not, you know, remove the bladder and chemo and all that stuff. But if it got into the third section, or fourth, of course, then they would. That's the set thing. You do 6 weeks of chemo and then remove the bladder.
Well, since I'm not an oncologist, I can't speak to any of those things, but it's easy to look up. You can literally look up every single thing you just mentioned to me, and you can Google it and find out if it's accurate or not. Yep, you can question everything. What's wrong with that? All right. If you will, call my office, and I'll be glad to help you.
I'll be glad to do that.
All right, I'm rooting for you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it. Bye-bye. All right, if you would like to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line officially open. Man, I wish I had a laptop right now. Maybe that's what I should think about doing, is bringing my little laptop up here. That way, if I guess they have Wi-Fi here at the station. I don't really know. Maybe I need to ask Randy or JP and or Wendy and try to figure it out. Because if I could do that, that would be so easy for me to type in statistics on bladder cancer and occurrence, what's the main cause. But, I mean, I mentioned the big one. I know you heard what I said a while ago. I really need you to think about that. And, you know, this is, I see a lot of disturbing things, and I'm not complaining. I'm not. There's a lot of disturbing things that I've seen that I consider, and I mean this seriously, it's such a tremendous blessing to encounter great, great difficulties because it helps you try to understand what is the truth. And so let me give you an example. What if I get a young mother that does a horrible, she gets really upset with me and she pushes back because I'm telling her, do not feed your kids Cheerios. Do not let your children be in charge of their diet. Yes, they love Honey Nut Cheerios, but don't give them to her. Don't. And what would be one of the reasons? Because what we're doing is we're poisoning the child with Roundup. You know, Whole Foods is no better. They had their brand of Cheerios years ago, and when it was tested, I think it might have had more Roundup than the average. I mean, it was an organic cereal that they were producing, but it had more Roundup and glyphosate than maybe some of the other ones, you know, averages. Yeah, how do you think about that? What is your thought process in your heart? If you knew that a food manufacturer like Whole Foods was making Cheerios, their own version of Cheerios, like Whole Foods Honey Donut Rings, whatever they call them, and if it had more Roundup, you'd be really disappointed, wouldn't you? You'd say, wait a second, why does it have the organic, you know, symbol on the label? Doesn't that distinguish them as radically different than like Cheerios? Anyway, I'm not trying to bash people here, but it is not in your best interest to be drinking Roundup or feeding it to little babies. I don't know if you really know this because everything was like the story of the frog in the pot of water. I'm telling you, people are slowly chemically poisoned and they don't even know it. Well, if you avoid cereal, you're avoiding being poisoned. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, I have a question. I have a son that is about 44 years old, and when he wakes up in the mornings, his heels hurt. You know, when he stands up, mm-hmm. he immediately has pain in those heels. Do you think that's kidneys or what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good thought. I don't know 100% that it's kidneys, but one of the jobs of your kidneys, it's a very precise filtration system to remove debris from the blood. And so I'm going to say this like a little bit differently.
Okay.
Actually, do you mind if I go back to the year 1988 for just a second?
Sure.
You're probably thinking I sound a lot younger, but I'm not. Anyway, you know what? In my mind, I feel young. The reality is that was like, you know, 30-something years ago, right? But right. In 1988, there was a man that for a living, he was a pulpwood hauler. I don't know if you know what pulpwood haulers are. I don't think there's a lot of them anymore, but they're trying to turn pine trees into paper, I guess, or pulpwood to make cardboard boxes. I have never seen a human being in more pain in my life. He had his work boot on. He was wearing overalls, but he completely took a knife or a chainsaw or something, and he cut the top half of that steel toe of the boot off so that there was nothing that could touch his toe.
Right.
And I hate to be, you know, admit it like this, but I didn't know anything about gout back then. I mean, I was taught about it in school, but it really wasn't the information that I need to really help people. And so if you call me on the phone and say there's a 44-year-old son that's got pain in his heels, I start thinking, okay, maybe this is a clue that the kidneys might be just a little bit clogged up and they can't remove what's called uric acid crystals. And anyway, here's one thing that I was going to tell you. It's so easy to go to the lab and have your blood drawn and measure what's called uric acid.
Okay. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, uric acid is, I don't know, is that like $8.40 to have it done? It's like super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, you could get it for like $8.40, but here's what I was going to say. There is a level of uric acid, so usually in a man, when the level of uric acid starts getting above 5 or especially 5.5, he's going to have pain somewhere. He's going to hurt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like under a microscope, uric acid looks like a crystallized knife blade. That probably doesn't sound good, but so if those crystals build up around the heel cord or the Achilles or the heel itself, oh my goodness, he wakes up in the morning, he says, man, what a great day. And then he puts his feet on the ground and goes, man, that hurts bad. But that's what I would think of.
Okay.
So if he wants a confirmation, it would be very easy just to have a simple uric acid test of his blood. And what if I'm wrong about the price? What if it's $9.17? I'm still pretty close. No, I really don't know what the price is, but it's dirt cheap. Just like if you want to get a lipid profile at the laboratory, it's $10.
Right.
So it really is. Well, you probably know a little bit about labs, don't you?
A little bit.
A little bit, okay. And so if we go back to the kidneys, you start asking the question, okay, well, if he has heel pain, so let me cover three or four ideas here. If I want to make the heels hurt worse, what I would give him is high fructose corn syrup.
Okay.
So that means, and I'm sort of laughing because I'm thinking, if I go by the drive-thru of Chicken Express, I could see somebody loading 4 gallons of sweet tea into their vehicle. But that would be, so like if a person drinks a lot of sweet tea, you're kind of asking for gout to form in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance that he drinks sweet tea?
Yes, sir, he does.
Oh, that was I never saw that coming.
That was the easy one.
Well, I'm going for the low-hanging fruit here to see if we can figure it out. But can I try to be a little bit more positive? Okay, what he needs to do is just drink water. Or if we could convince him to drink, like, herbal tea, like hibiscus tea.
Okay.
I usually have hibiscus tea every single day just because I like the taste of it. It tastes good, and I think it's good for me. But I always think that hibiscus is good for the kidneys.
Okay.
And if I was at the grocery store and I walked by, if I pushed my cart by the frozen fruit section and I saw a bag of frozen cherries in there, mm-hmm. I'd say, wow, I wonder if I should get those. What would my mom think?
Yes.
Wait a second, my mom's the one that told me about that on Saturday morning at 7:45 a.m. I don't know why she called me so early. But cherries, they have this incredible ability. I know I'm getting sidetracked here, but do you know what cortisol is? Cortisol is a stress hormone. It completely keeps a human being from sleeping at night. It wrecks their sleep schedule, and it just makes them inflamed and irritable. But cherries have been shown to reduce cortisol levels by about 20%. But still, that's a good deal. So if we could compel your son to eat some frozen cherries every day, then bingo. We're trying to help remove the uric acid. We're trying to help heal the inflammation in his body. There's a compound in cherries. I think it's called an anthocyanidine, but that helps rid the body of inflammation, and that's what's causing his heels to hurt.
Okay. All right. Well, I will get him going on it.
Well, can I tell you just one more thing to try to be helpful? There's an extract, or if you want to call it a vegetable, it's called celery.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to just choose one thing to try to help him right now, I might try to build a case to telling him to take an herbal remedy called celery seed.
Okay.
And let me be positive here. I've never heard of somebody overdosing on this.
Right.
Fentanyl I have, but not celery seed.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of a person rush to the emergency room because they ate 10 frozen cherries?
Why, no.
No, but, you know, I hear stories and I read almost daily about people overdosing on Tylenol. And they have liver failure because of it. It's horrible.
Right. Uh-huh.
I would say if the urine turns dark brown, that's a sign that you might be overdosing on Tylenol.
Yes, that's true.
But I hope these things help your son.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you again for your phone call. I appreciate
you're
you
welcome.
Very much. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay. Let me go back to what I was saying right here. Okay. In the British Medical Journal, the year was 1979, and what they did was, and I'm just going to read it word for word. And you know what? When I read this, you're going to say, why didn't my doctor tell me that? How come I didn't hear this from my dermatologist? Well, anyway, just consider this. And I'm going to quote here. There's quotation marks around what I'm about to read. It is with considerable uneasiness that I suspect that an increase in skin cancers to be probable in the future years from the widespread and, in my opinion, ill-advised use of preparations containing 5-methyloxysorolin. Basically, that's what they put in sunscreen. That's the chemical. And then he goes on to say, my concern is not helped by the knowledge that DNA repair mechanisms may be less than optimal in people that take this. Anyway, sunscreen, you want to have skin cancer, you want to develop cancer, use sunscreen. That's what it's saying. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing better than how to be.
That's exactly the way. I don't deserve what I've got. You're right.
But you have said to people, you've asked them, do they have a minor infection or parasites? And I'm thinking that I may have that.
Well, have you had a blood test recently? And what I may have been referring to is, if your white blood cell count is averaging 5.7 and less, there are so many studies that say that means you got an infection somewhere.
I haven't noticed that, but I will look.
Well, do you know how much the lab? Do you know how much it costs to get that test done?
No.
$10.
Okay. That's great.
Just in case you wanted to know.
Okay. I'll look for that. Then my next question is, what can I do if I have something like that?
Well, if I were to look at the medical literature, the number one predictor of all time of a low-grade infection that never goes away is going to be sugar in the blood. Do you happen to know what your average blood sugar is?
No, but because of you, I have gotten off of sugar years ago.
Yes, but do you know what your blood sugar is?
No.
Okay. You know what that test cost?
$10.
Wow, you catch on really fast. I thought this is going to be difficult. Okay, so you could get what's called a comprehensive metabolic panel, and I'm telling you, that might be in your best interest, because if your body's not working right, we might want to look for as many clues as possible. But anyway, don't eat refined sugar. Can I go in a slightly different direction? And this may be more what you have in mind, but I like this topic a whole lot also. If we were talking about what do you do to help your immune system to give it every chance to work better, to respond to an infection, whether it's a parasite or a chronic viral infection or a bacterial infection, well, you've got to feed it the nutrients that it needs. And so, for example, vitamin A as in apple, got its name because it's called the anti-infection vitamin. You may have even heard of that. Well, you know what all parents used to do with their kids? They'd line them up with a spoon and they'd give them cod liver oil back in 1924. Did your mother force you against your will to open your mouth and she put in a spoonful of cod liver oil when you were a child?
Whenever one of us got sick, we all got it.
Well, that's a good point, though. But what I'm suggesting is this, in my mind, would be a foundational principle. If you want to give your immune system a chance to work right, you got to get the foundation in there, and that could easily be cod liver oil. I know I talked about fish oil earlier and people developing much greater strength when they exercise compared to not, and that's a big deal. A person, if they lose their strength, their health starts going downhill. But we're trying to feed and nourish the immune system, so if you're not taking cod liver oil every single day, you might want to prayerfully consider taking that. And kind of so you can give your immune system a chance to work right.
Okay.
Or do you already take cod liver oil?
Not yet.
Okay, but you're open to the possibility that you could, and it might benefit you, right?
No, this week I will take it.
Oh, yeah, okay, good. And so number two right here. Minerals, in my mind, are so critically important, and I'm not trying to make a panacea out of cod liver oil or out of minerals or vitamin A, but, you know, I'm just giving you information so you can kind of make choices. But I would say there's a lot of people that are just low in trace minerals. I mean, for example, you got to have a little bit of zinc if you want your immune system to work right. And yes, it is true. I'll give you full disclosure. If you take way too much zinc for a long period of time, that can actually wreck your immune system. I know that because one of the manufacturers that made, I guess it's called dental cream, like Polydent, something like that, something that you would apply to the denture to kind of help hold it in place so that your dentures don't fall out. I'm not trying to make a joke. It's just the way it is. But they accidentally put too much zinc in there, and they started having all these health problems because they were being overdosed on zinc. So for the most part, I don't really like giving much more than about 20 milligrams of zinc, maybe 30 at the most. And so I think this happens to me at least twice a month. I'll have somebody come in, and they're taking 50 milligrams of zinc in one formulation. And then I look at their multiple vitamin, and it has 15 milligrams of zinc. And they'll be taking an immune-boosting formula that might have 5 milligrams of zinc, and I'm going, sir, you're taking 70 milligrams of zinc every day. That's just too much. I mean, more is not always better, so I try to keep zinc around 20, 25 milligrams usually, total.
Okay.
So does that make sense? Okay, the next thing that I would look at if it were me is, I know this is just my way of saying it, but I would tell a person, if you don't want to get sick, take echinacea. And I think that's its claim to fame. When they do studies on mice and longevity and infections, the mice that they give a little bit of echinacea to, they actually outlive and they have the fewest infections compared to the mice that don't take echinacea. So it's very interesting.
I purchased 2 days ago some echinacea, but it had something else with it as well.
Oh, and that's probably fine. It's probably Golden Seal, if I was guessing.
Yes, yes.
I don't think it was crack cocaine with it. I'm joking. Have you ever heard of crack cocaine enhancing somebody's health? I don't think so. Okay, so you're looking at echinacea. The other one that's like so easy to do are just mushroom extracts. I tell you, you don't know this, but this morning I clicked on a heading that was referring to research on Alzheimer's and dementia. And it probably had 80 to 90 articles in there, and I was just going down the list to see if any of them piqued my interest. But probably every other article, I may be exaggerating slightly, but every other article was talking about using mushrooms to keep the brain in good working order. Well, it's not just the brain that mushrooms are good for, and I think they were using like white button mushrooms or white mushrooms. They had an article concerning what's called turkey tail, but there are polysaccharides. These are naturally occurring compounds in mushrooms that are so good to help your immune system work more robustly. And you know, the bottom line is we want your immune system to be so robust in that it can rise to the occasion. And if there's a viral infection or a bacterial infection, that is exactly what you want. You want it to kick the backside or kick the teeth out of the infection so it can eat it and digest it and get rid of it. You're not going to believe what I read this morning, but there was a surgeon from France. He would only do surgery on people if he could do it under a tent in the fresh air with sunlight on the wound. How about that?
Wow.
You're never going to find a doctor that does that. They're going to have that surgical suite completely sterilized. They're going to scrub their bodies down from head to toe 50 million times to make sure the person doesn't get the staph infection. But he insisted the only way he would do surgery is if actual sunlight was striking upon the wound. And what he was doing, this was wartime surgery. It was shrapnel, bullet holes, stuff like that. You got to admit, that'd be pretty bad to be in a battle and have a hole blown into your side because of a, you know, artillery or a round blew up. What's it called? A mortar? Yeah, I don't want a mortar round dropping on me.
That happened to my uncle, and he died 2 days later.
Oh, man. So it's just horrific damage to the body, isn't it?
Right.
So those are some things that you can think of. And the reason I said blood test is, how do you really know where you are? I mean, I might think in my mind that I'm really good at figuring these things out, but I'm not stupid, totally. I look at blood tests and I go, okay, your white blood cell count's low. What can we do to address this? Because it is completely in your best interest. And so let me say it another way concerning you and me too. Our ability as men to be able to function at a high level and to continue blessing and helping people, because I know you, you're a 100% servant. That's all you do all day long, is you serve and care for the needs of other people. You don't have to tell people what you do for a living, but I know you, that you, that's all you're doing, is constantly thinking about the well-being of others. Well, we need to have an immune system that's working well to keep you in good working order. I want your body to stay in good repair. I want you to be strong. And if there is a glitch, what if there is a drop-off in your immune system? Or maybe your metabolic machinery is not working so great, or maybe your metabolism is not working as well as it did when you were 17. I know that you're slightly above 17. That's about all I know about you.
Slightly.
Well, I mean slightly. I'm pretty close, aren't I?
Yes.
Okay. I can tell by the strength of your voice you're a little bit above 17, but I can't tell much beyond that. But anyway, as a person ages, the immune system just doesn't work as well, and so I know this is probably going to be different than what the average person believes, but you actually have to try harder to keep your body in good working order as you age. You just do. This whole idea of retiring and you're going to coast and you can do whatever you want, that's a disaster. You have to make a concerted effort. Just like you could say, could I walk around my property today? Could I go for a hike in the woods? Or should I sit on the couch and eat some Cheetos and Ding Dongs or cupcakes? Guess which one of those is a better choice, going for the walk out in the sunshine. And the more that sun is on your skin for a reasonable period of time, I'm not talking about destroying your skin where you look like a lobster. We don't want to do that. But you've got to try harder if you want your body to continue working for you. You got to have a plan. So consider those things that I've told you, and hopefully that'll help.
Thank you so very much. God bless you.
You're welcome. God bless you, buddy. I appreciate you. Bye-bye. Okay, unfortunately, I don't think there'll be enough time for another phone call, even if somebody calls. So it's been a real joy and pleasure being with you today, but here's what I want you to think of. We're living in a toxic world. We are. There's a pretty good chance that if you go into the aisle that contains breakfast cereal, I know you don't want to get out of bed. I get it. You don't want to get up and make your kids food. Yes, I understand that. You don't want to really prepare meals. Okay. But do you want your kids being sick the rest of their lives? Do you want everybody in your household to develop one infection after the other, one health problem? No. You need to live life to the fullest. You need to be radiant and strong. I know people that in their mind they think they're health experts, but if you look at their body, it's literally the most destroyed body that a human being has ever seen. I don't even know how they're still alive. Don't listen to people like that. They're probably drinking diet sodas all day long, full of aspartame and Splenda and sucralose. Folks, that is not a recipe for health. I have two or three people that I've told over and over again, okay, you want to stop your migraine headaches? Stop the stupid diet Dr. Peppers. No, they don't. No. Mm-mm. You know, we just live in this dulled fantasy world. We want to believe. And I get it. I think the term that's used is called deletion. Anything that we're uncomfortable with thinking about, we're just going to delete that. We're only going to think about, things that we want to think about. We're not going to face the truth. Well, that's going to catch you. Hey, put it to the test. Don't take what I'm saying as the gospel. Go to your computer and Google, does drinking Diet Dr. Peppers have anything to do with Alzheimer's or dementia? See what you come up with. Okay, I'll leave it up to you. Thank you for joining this Saturday morning. Lord willing, I'll be back next Saturday at 7 o'clock.